Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, have you had any of the beer in the red cups this week?
No, Jim. Is it laced with something, you know, mind expanding?
Well, I don't know if your mind will expand, but I did overhear Snyder say something about Viagra. All right, so we've been through the heavy metal beers.
Yes, we have. We've come out on the other side.
Yeah, somehow amazingly.
Yep.
And now it's Thursday, and we're going to get into some different styles of music and beer, right?
Yep, exactly right. We're going to go very American. I think this is one of the most American rock bands.
I'm pretty excited about this.
Think of.
So, all right, this week we are talking about band beers, and it's Rock in the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks,
and,
Mike.
And, you know, Patrick, beer has always been sort of a subtopic of this show since we started it, right?
Yeah, certainly has. I think, to quote Homer Simpson, it's the solution to and the cause of all of our problems.
That's right.
Just depends on what time of the dateline it is.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
And
but it has, you know, our listeners and you and I both like craft beer and independently made, fresh, you know, all from natural ingredients. And certainly, as we talked about earlier in this week when we, on our old podcast, went on a long road trip, Mike Snyder certainly taught us a lot about what good beer is, and we followed his lead.
And Mike, as our beer expert here and beer journalist, have you met this guy from Dogfish Head? He's kind of a well-known dude, right?
I've met Sam several times. Sam Calagione, he calls himself the co-founder because his wife also helped found Dogfish Head in Milton, Delaware. And now... Yeah. And then you may see a few Dogfish Head ale houses around our area.
We have Falls Church.
We have one in Fairfax. Mm-hmm. So music has always been part of his life too. I think he's a little younger than me and maybe a little older than you guys. But he said that music is always part of his, when he was a homebrewer. You know, we talked earlier about how a lot of these major, well, even smaller, but major craft breweries in the U.S. began. Jimmy Carter passed a law in the 70s that allowed people to make a certain amount of beer at their house.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was against the law. I think some states may have had some laws allowing it, but he made it national. And so you're talking about in the 70s, then these people made beer. You know, by the 80s, you're starting to see local breweries, brew pubs come around in California and the Northeast and play around the country. And you had places like Sierra Nevada, and then on the East Coast, you had Samuel Adams, Boston Beer, and you had Dogfish Head. And Sam says a lot of times he listened to music while he was homebrewing. So they have had a big tie to music, and this is the current, one of the current beers, but we're going to talk about another beer, and tomorrow we can kind of get into all their history. They have a big history with beer, but this one is one of the cooler collaborations they had.
Yeah.
It's called American Beauty. It's a pale ale. It's obviously named after a Grateful Dead album.
Yep.
And what they did was, when they talked with the Grateful Dead and said, we want to do a beer collaboration, and they said, well, how do we get the fans involved?
Yeah.
And the fans got to say what they thought should be the ingredients made. You know, what kind of, in addition to hops and average ingredient, what else could you bring in? And the biggest ingredient was granola.
Really? That makes sense. Yeah.
So it became part of the recipe. They had to work that in. So anyway, it's a fun story. It's a fun beer. The beer first came out in 2012, and now they made it part of their year-round portfolio. So it's available nationwide where Dogfish is available. It should be showing up, but it's going to be available all year. And it's a good, fine drinking pale ale. It's a little stronger than most pale ales. Mm-hmm. It's 6.5. It gets into the IPA alcohol range. So if you don't want to go IPA, but you want a more subtle taste, this has some honey in it. Uh-huh. So it's a little sweeter than your average pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very approachable, as they say.
Why, Mike, do a lot of breweries do the limited runs and limited editions?
They have to keep having reasons for you to either come to the the brew pub or buy their stuff. Yep. And it's a constant fight for shelf space and tap space across the country, as we have. As I said earlier, we have more than 7,000 breweries in the United States, more than ever. I think it was like about 4,000 before Prohibition, and then we passed that a couple years ago. Now it's, and we still have more breweries opening than are closing at this point. So what you do is you try to keep your consumer base, fan base, just like a band puts out, you know, EPs or singles these days. Mm-hmm. They say, well, let's bring out a special edition here.
Got to have new product, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, makes sense.
Special edition. I mean, we're going to have the next one is kind of like a special re-release or something like that. So,
reissue,
So, I mean, and as a beer person, I mean, while, okay, I could easily find a couple, you know, Desert Island beers I could live with for the rest of my life, but I actually like variety, just like I do with music.
Yeah.
So it's fun to have, you know, a seasonal pop-up for the season. And this doesn't really have a season, but it's an attitude, and it may make me, I haven't pulled out that 1972 or, you know, Touch of Grey or whatever for a while. So let's put it on.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah.
I just want to make one quick point here. I have one quick question. So this is a pale ale, not an IPA. Is there a difference with that?
Yes. It's a lot less bitter, number one, and you're probably going to, the malt plays a little stronger. Yep. I don't know exactly which hops are played on each of these, and we could get into that if we wanted to.
It's a whole other thing, yeah.
But it's basically not as bitter. It's more approachable. It's
my understanding, an IPA, India Pale Ale, my understanding of the history of that was that British brewers would make it so that it could take the long ship trip to India, right? It was, so there was somehow, in the brewing process of making it so bitter, it could be preserved for that long voyage, right?
The hops worked as a preservative.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So the bitterer it was, the longer it could survive.
Right.
And that's why, in a way, while the marketing today is, I actually drink your IPA fast as you can because it tastes fresher.
That's right.
But I also understand that American IPAs are really different than where British IPAs started.
Yeah.
So what we think of as an IPA is probably not even what that historically was in the past, right?
Yeah, like that mild ale we just had from the Trooper, you know, that's kind of almost like a pale ale to us, but I'm not sure that would really be what they would call it over there.
Yeah.
So would this be maybe more of an American pale ale? Oh, it's American Beauty?
Definitely. Okay. Yeah, definitely American
definitely
pale ale.
And I definitely love the label here with the bears.
Without a doubt. You know what?
The Dancing Bears of Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love that. They're right there toasting a couple frosty brews. You know what I would be interested in is to see if we could open these and have a taste. That would be really good.
Yeah. We probably should do that, right?
Let's at do some that point. Now. Yeah, I'd like it. I will say this, when you're talking about the Grateful Dead, it's
just open that and I'll,
it's such
I'll
an
drink right out of the bottle.
Interesting.
Yes. Thank you.
Relationship with
cheers.
Cheers to everyone here and to all you fans out there in the world. I think it's such an interesting relationship with the Grateful Dead and their lifestyle and you know, spirits. And certain things. Now, a good friend of the show, Justin Gay, used to tell me that he would tour with the Grateful Dead, and the way he made his cost to buy a ticket and gas money to go to the next show was he would go to the store, he'd buy like two or three cases of beer, he'd put it in a cooler and sell it out of his trunk before the show in the parking lot while everybody was getting together. So he'd buy a case for whatever it was back then and just sell the cans for $2 or $3 each, and that would be his gas money and his money for his ticket. But you know, we think of the Grateful Dead, and Mike, I know you've seen them and we've talked about them before in the show, but you know, it's, you think of summertime and you think of like sunset, you think of the band like coming on, and you know, you're sitting and drinking some beers in a parking lot somewhere.
Well, and what was so interesting is you talk about this fella had his thing he did.
Yeah.
There was a whole economy or ecosystem built around the Grateful Dead.
Absolutely.
And that has evolved to other bands, you know, since then. But I think, you know, I think most people would consider the Grateful Dead one of the most fond memory.
Yep.
I only got to see them once live, but I've seen many, you know, documentaries about, you know, the reach they had and what led, you know, people would follow them around, and it was incredible. And obviously this spoke to Sam Calzione and what he hoped his brewery would do. And I mean, even when they made this beer in 2012, they were doing great. But they've kicked it up to another level, you know, in the 6 or 7 years mm-hmm. since then. They're one of the major breweries in the U.S. So,
and I think you make such a great point, Mike. The Grateful Dead built their own business basically off the ground. Yes, they were signed to a major label, but that was not at all a very important part of what they did. They didn't make a lot of money off their studio albums. They didn't. Most people don't necessarily consider their studio albums to be that important. It was really that touring apparatus and that live show and the sound system they built and that whole open taping system, that real independent entrepreneurial spirit they had. I think it translates really well to breweries where, you know, they're growing fresh ingredients, they're growing their hops and using it all. And I think it's really cool.
Well, and that method continues to work. I mean, the Dead, a iteration, will be touring this year.
That's right.
I mean, and just continues to get, you know, massive followings live. And they've had giant pay-per-view events, you know, that I've watched. So, you know, it's great to see it carry on. I mean, I think, you know, some people argue about, you know, without Jerry Garcia, what is it? But I mean, you know, my argument is when you're listening to that music, you know, Jerry's in your head possibly too.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think he's with him on stage. Yeah. So.
One question, sorry, Jim, that I would like to ask you, Mike, is of all the craft brewers and people that you've interviewed and talked to over the years, does it tend to be a certain kind of profile? Is it people that like started doing something in their 20s and then sort of dropped out because this was always their dream? Or, you know, like, is there a generalization or a pattern you've seen there or not?
I should have done more homework, but I think I can characterize. I think I can characterize it without a lot of specifics. I think the scene you described. I forget if it was Monday or Tuesday, where people are in the garage, probably listening to music, drinking beer while they're making beer.
Exactly.
Led to something that these people were doing, whether it was white collar work. Or they're still students and they're trying to get an MBA or whatever and trying to figure out what to do. That entrepreneurial Stuart, it's kicking in.
Spirit
is kicking in. It kicked in for them.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, so a lot of people say, what is the job you could do that you love every day?
Yes.
You know, that's the ideal. These people realize, you know, I love doing this.
Right.
And if I could, and if I could make this, so this pale ale I'm starting is my basic.
Yeah.
Then I begin to have my offshoots, and I can be creative for the rest of my life in the beer, in the building, in the what I do, like Dogfish does with this.
With the artwork, everything.
It just becomes a lifestyle.
So,
Dogfish Head, at least on the East Coast, is fairly well known.
Yeah.
But it's also not a major brewer. They're not part of some conglomerate, right? They're still independent.
No,
they
have taken some private equity funding, but they have options to pay that off at a certain date. So they're still a independent brewery.
They're still like a big indie band.
Yeah.
Right. They have not signed to a major label.
Right.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Great.
And yet, you were saying like 7,000 breweries in the United States now or whatever. It's very similar in music, like the way music has exploded and there's so many bands today, right? And everybody is out there and can find their little niche and can make something happen. I just think it's something about the American spirit now that you can just go out and find your way and find your audience and or your customer base or whatever it may be. And, like I said, you know, sort of make your own way, right?
That's
make your own habit, right? And
point.
So it's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
American Beauty, we talked about it, has granola and honey. Do you guys taste that in here?
Well, it is a little sweeter than your average pale ale is going to be. It's not too sweet. I don't think that's the main thing. I mean, I think, and I don't know that I would even know that granola was used in making this.
Yeah.
I mean, because malt is used to making beer. So I think that, I mean, that's just an interesting aspect to the beer making. But I think it's just a straightforward, not too boozy, but boozier than your average pale ale. The taste, you know, it's just a well-rounded. I hate when someone says well-balanced.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it is well-balanced.
You're going to say it?
I'm going to say it because I already said it in an earlier phrase, but I didn't. Yeah. I was referring to some other people that would say it.
Yeah.
But when you say well-balanced, you have to be able to back up how is it well-balanced. Well, it's bitter, but it's sweet. So oftentimes you'll drink a beer and you might get some sweetness, but it'll be bitter at the end. This one, you get a little malt and bitterness at the front, yeah, but I actually feel that the sweetness is at the end.
Yeah.
And it's not thick, but it's not totally clean.
Yeah.
So it's got a body to it.
Good point.
So it's got what they would call a good mouth feel, which is kind of a weird phrase that I don't use very often. Yeah. But now that we're into day four of this, it's coming out.
I think it's funny, though, to say something is brewed with granola, because granola is not a thing. Granola is made of like oats
things.
And nuts Sticks. And whatever it may be, right?
Dirt.
So the idea, if it said like brewed with oats, you'd, oh, that makes sense, right?
But
brewed with granola doesn't really. But anyway, how do you feel this relates to the Grateful Dead? Does it feel like
I'm going to tell you a couple marketing things real quick while you think about, because you're a big music fan. I'll throw some marketing stuff out there. They are going to have, since this beer has been out in the past, it's not a brand new beer, but they are going to do something new this year for Record Store Day. They're going to have a 10-song vinyl release of Grateful Dead songs.
Really?
Including Sugar Magnolia and Eyes of the World and several other songs.
Okay.
It is a collaboration. You know, interesting, you talk about how do these breweries keep people interested. They try to have collaborations, and it's not just between brewers and other brewers, which is really interesting. A lot of breweries like to work together. But this is obviously a musicians and brewers, and that's what all these have been about. We've been talking about this week.
Like featuring Cardi B or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure someone out there is working on that.
Yeah. What do you mean retired? You appeared on 15 albums in Best Spots this year. And that's, you know, I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier too, Mike. That's another interesting way to create something different. You do a collaboration brew with somebody, right? And you do a limited edition like that. Yeah. I think to answer your question, Jim, from my perspective, I mean, if you're going to go to a Grateful Dead show or even a Dead and Company show or whatever, you know you're going to be there for 4 to 5 hours.
Yes.
And, you know, this is probably the way you start. You know, it's like it kind of feels like the beginning of a set where you're not too heavily into it. Like Mike said, it's got some body, but it's not, you know, totally crisp and just really light. So I can definitely feel that. Now, along the way, you might pick one of these up and you know, drink it, and something might be in there, and suddenly, you know,
well,
you're starting to see strange things coming out of the speakers.
I might like to try that one.
Well, so what's interesting is, you know, we talked this, the previous beers we've had have not been very strong, really.
Right.
And
right.
They've been for metal music. This is stronger.
Right.
And it actually, if you had three or four of these, you might be into actually, it might complement the music more.
Yeah.
I mean, your brain goes
float a little bit.
Isn't that the idea?
I think so. Right. I think that's, I think that's right.
Oh, that's the idea.
Yeah.
That's exactly the idea. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think it's really cool. I like Dogfish Head and, you know, I like The Dead. So I think it's a really good, strong American story. Yeah. That's cool. It's probably, you know, of the four beers we've had so far, I'm going to put it right up there. You know, for me, this is right up there with the Metallica is my favorite.
So this is the first beer of these beers we've had that I bought on my own for not doing a story.
Yeah.
I did a beer recommendation column about hard rock beers, you know, because I had the Metallica's beer.
Yeah.
And I can't buy it yet. So,
yeah.
And I think I would, especially during the summertime. Real quickly, if you guys don't mind, I'd throw a few things that...
bring it on.
That Dogfish Head has done in the past. They've done beers... with Guided by Voices.
Really?
With Pearl Jam. They did a beer called Hellhound on My Ale for the 100th birthday for Robert Johnson. And what was interesting, they included a lemon peel adjunct
really?
As a nod to Blind Lemon Jefferson,
that
who
is
evidently
cool.
was a mentor to Robert Johnson.
Absolutely. That is very cool.
They have this. I did have this beer. It was really weird. And I didn't know this artist, but she's got some very atmospheric music. Her name is Juliana Barwick.
Yes.
They put out a beer called Rosabi, and she came to the brewery and brought some, she had some ideas of the ingredients she wanted. It had red rice to make it red, and it had wasabi in it.
Oh, wow.
I didn't like the beer a lot, but it was definitely an adventure.
It's worth trying.
Yeah, why not?
They also put out... 2 years ago, a record store compilation called Music to Drink Beer By, which had everyone from Outkast to Lou Reed, to Johnny Cash, to Dennis Wilson, to Bessie Smith on the compilation album.
That's amazing. So
beer and music is a... Oh, and then the beer we didn't get today because it went to my office and not here and there's nobody to sign for it, but is a beer they did with the Flaming Lips.
Yes.
And it's called Dragons and Yum Yums.
I've had that. Yeah.
It's interesting.
I've had that too.
Yeah.
That came out last year.
It did.
That was the first year.
I had that too.
Right around Record Store Day.
But
yeah.
That really
interesting
made,
beer.
That really made sense for Flaming Lips. Because it had all these like crazy like fruit flavors to it and all that kind of stuff. And it was perfect.
Well, if there's ever a beer drinking band, Guided by Voices is probably that band. And I don't know if that beer they made, I didn't taste that. I don't know if it tasted like Bush Light. But
I was going to say, they're not necessarily a craft brew drinking band.
No, they're the kind of things like, what's the cheapest 30 pack?
That's right.
You got Strohs? I'll take
That's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see the 77 beer pack?
I did.
Is it Natural Light?
Natty Light. Yep, Natty Light. I saw that. 77 beers in one package.
Wow.
I remember hanging out with a guy, you know, years and years ago who insisted that where he came from, which he wouldn't specify, you could buy a case of Milwaukee's Best for $1.45. I didn't believe it.
But I could see that.
He kept it up all night.
Especially if it went...
Milwaukee's Best.
Milwaukee's Best.
Especially if they had a born-on date that expired.
That's right.
I used to qualify bad beer by like calling it Russian roulette. Like every six-pack, there was going to be a skunk.
That's right.
And the two beers that stuck out to me as definitely for playing Russian roulette were a beer called Black Label.
Oh, yeah. I remember that beer.
And... Ooh. Buckhorn.
Buckhorn.
Buckhorn had a can that looked like real Coors, but it wasn't. And my dad would buy it. And I'm like, Dad, you got to quit drinking this stuff. And then, because I couldn't steal any beer from him because I didn't want to get the one in the six, you know? So anyway. Well, thank heaven we're not having a contest of drinking who could drink the worst beers.
That's tonight. Right. So yeah.
No, these are good beers.
These have all been pretty good.
These are great beers.
Right. How would you guys rate this one? I think you said you thought it might be your favorite.
I put it right up there, probably slightly ahead of the Metallica for me.
Yep.
How about you, Jim?
I'm not really on board with this one.
Okay.
I like the other three better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, but if I was going to have a pale ale, I'd probably stick with Sierra Nevada pale ale.
Yeah.
I mean, because I want a little bit more bitterness in this, but... I could definitely see myself at, at Wolf Trap having a few of these in the evening. Yeah.
And I like this a lot. I really do. If I'm not drinking an IPA, I would drink something like this.
Okay. Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Do you have a song to play out with?
Well.
They have a few.
It's a large catalog.
That's right.
You better not play a live version, though.
No, that's right. It's going to be a snippet either way. We could pretty much play anything. I like Eyes of the World. I think that's a really cool tune.
Good.
If you want to play that in some form or another, Jim, that'd be great.
All right, so please listen every day
because
tomorrow we have another beer. What's the next beer up?
It's called Bitches Brew,
which
is not a rock band type beer.
No, that's all right.
It's tied to a famous jazz fusion rock
but there's
musician.
Some great electric guitar on Bitches Brew played by John McLaughlin. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, this is going to be cool.
This is a pretty intense beer. Right?
It's not only. It's not just the Bitches Brew. It's the Wood Age Bitches Brew. So it's got it's high octane.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
All right, I'm excited about this. All right.
We're working our way up to Friday.
So listen again tomorrow. Let us know what you think about bands and beer by calling 612-440-1984. Or emailing rock@suburbspod.com or finding us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Please support us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/suburbspod. And if you're in the DC area around April 4th, come to our live event where we're going to do live podcast with Don Zantara of Inner Ear Studios. And he recorded a lot of the famous DC punk bands.
Yep.
That's going to be at Spaces in Chevy Chase, Maryland at
Looking
7 o'clock.
To that. Yep.
And you go to suburbspod.com and find the link for tickets so you can buy to that. All right. Eyes of the World. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Right outside the lazy summer. Right outside the lazy game.
And you know, there was also that time when there was that trend for the ice beers. Mm-hmm. You guys remember the ice beers? Yeah. I drank Milwaukee's best ice once. I drank a six pack of it, and all the hair fell off my left leg. I'm what? Not kidding. It really happened.
Did you pour it down your leg?
No, I just drank it. And my left leg went bald. It's a true story, folks.